Well, it's great to be here today. Really, not quite dry yet, but and then I said, "Boy, all the rain we had yesterday, day before that," and then they tell me Erica's coming. So okay, well, so what's the difference? So today, first of all, I'm really excited about the. The 13th and Kent McKean coming. You've had two really great people so far with the Littles and the Coons, and then now the McKeans coming, another young couple. They have two children that are 7 and 8 years old, a boy and a girl. So
two girls,
is that what it is? Two girls? Okay, well, I'm thinking of the Blocks, I guess. And they're close friends of Mike and Melissa Block, who are on our staff in Orlando. So at any rate, I'm excited about them coming as well. So got some great choices, great things to think about, be praying about, and talk to others about it. So today I want to talk about compassion. And what compassion means, and some examples from the life of Jesus, and some things we can learn about it from Him. Compassion is defined, according to Vines and Strong's, as a pity or mercy with a desire to help.
Wow.
So you can have pity on somebody, and you can have mercy on somebody, but you may not want to help. You know, but compassion is. Is that emotion that sparks you into action, into doing something for someone. And the literal part of it has to do, it says it's from the innards. In other words, from your gut. This is something that is, you know, in your inner being. It's something that really moves and motivates you, is how it defines that. So let's look, we're going to look at for a few minutes in the book of Luke, then we'll look at some other passages as well. But turn over to Luke chapter 7, and we'll see something about Jesus. We're going to, and most of the time it's just one little phrase that tells us a lot about what goes on. Now, each time, I cannot pronounce the Greek word for compassion. It's a complicated little word that I don't know how to pronounce. But every passage uses the same Greek word referring to compassion. They translate it differently in different translations. But let's look here in Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. Well, first of all, when you were in that area, again, if you were a widow, then you basically you were almost indigent because most women did not work, have jobs outside like a lot of times today, and so a great deal of need. And so when Jesus saw her, it says his heart went out to her. Which is the Greek word. In other words, he had compassion for her. It's how that would be translated. It's the same word here that's translated in other places as compassion. His heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier where they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God, and a great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Which I think is interesting. He says that Jesus' heart went out to her. And I think that's a great description about this emotion, this feeling, it just moved him, and he stopped and he wanted to do something about it. But what I'm also interested in is what they said about this, having raised this man from the dead, and then it says that God has come to help his people. I just think again. You know, when we show compassion to others, when we go to help those who are less fortunate, go to help those who are in need, when we have compassion for others and not just feeling sorry for somebody or having pity on somebody, but where it moves us to do something, then it's saying that, you know, and that God is concerned, that we are in the same way. A lot of people didn't necessarily think of Jesus as the Son of God, but when they saw him do something, when they obviously something this great, they said, you know, God is helping his people. And I think that's something which is a great thing for us to remember about our own lives as well. Let's go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. This is a parable that Jesus told. And again, it was about when Jesus asked, when a guy asked Jesus once, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus said, well, how do you read it? You know the Bible, you tell me. He said, well, you know, what do you think it is? Well, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, yep, that's what I've been saying. That's what I've been teaching. You're right. But, the Bible says, but seeking to justify himself, he asked, who's my neighbor? So he wasn't, you know, why did he want to justify himself? Because he knew what was right, but he wasn't doing it. So he wanted to say, well, who should I consider to be my neighbor? And so he gives the story about the Good Samaritan. I don't know if you know who the Samaritans are, but the Samaritans were looked upon very derogatorily among the Jews, who were very prejudiced against the Samaritans. Back in 700 BC, the Assyrians came and conquered the northern kingdom, which was also called Samaria. You'll see it, and Samaria was the capital. So sometimes the northern kingdom is referred to as Samaria, and sometimes referred to as the northern kingdom. Well, the Assyrians came through in 722 BC. So 722 years before, well, actually 750 years before this, then the Assyrians came, and what they did was they took a lot of the people out of the northern kingdom and moved them to other places in the world, in their territory. And then they brought other peoples that they had conquered and moved them into Samaria. And so these people, some were Jews, and so these people intermarried. And so that was one thing that was wrong, because they were a mixed race and they didn't think that was good. And then two is that they also, they believed in the Ten Commandments, but they said instead of being on Mount Sinai where God gave the commandments, God gave the commandments on this mountain. And so, remember when Jesus talked to the woman at the well? She said, well, that says that it was over here. And Jesus said, well, you know, you're, you know, not right. But so at any rate, so these are people that the Jews just did not like at all. It would be like, you know, a KKK person about black people. You know, that was just the way they viewed these Samaritans. And so in reply, Jesus tells this parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem, verse 30, to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So, okay, I wonder what happened there, and just walked on. It was a priest, the one who intercedes for the people of God before the temple, or who served in the temple, and you know, it was some a priest there. And then it says, and so a Levite. Well, who are the Levites? Well, the priests came from the Levite tribe. And so the Levites also sometimes served, but they were that's kind of like the priest's family, the priestly families, you know, the people who should also know, you know. And so so a preacher and a preacher's kid, all right? So when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But when a Samaritan, and again, you think of this man listening to this, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Same Greek word, he had compassion for him. He had compassion for him. And so this pity, or this he had this emotion, and so he then went, and look what he did. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He didn't just take him and drop him off. He took care of him, and the impression is he took care of him all night. Because it says the next day, he took out 2 denarii, two days' worth of pay, and gave it to the innkeeper. Must have known this guy, been there before, traveling or something. He looked after him. He said, when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you have. When, so Jesus is telling this parable, and so he asked the person who said, who's my neighbor? He says, well, who is the neighbor here? And he said, well, I guess it's the one who helped him. He wouldn't say the word Samaritan. He just said, oh, the one who helped him. He didn't want to use the person's name. But what I'm interested in seeing is it's the difference between some people who saw and felt nothing except noticing and did not want to get involved to the point they went on the other side of the road. Not want to get involved. I think there is a tendency on a lot of us not to want to get involved. It takes a lot of effort and inconvenience to get involved. What did he do? So he was on a business trip. He was traveling, you know, and takes care of him, puts him on his donkey. He walks instead of riding. So he walks now, puts the man on his donkey, and then takes care of him and stays with him all night. I don't know. Did he plan to go on any further? What you see with Jesus a lot of times, I was talking to somebody the other day who's a very disciplined person and who has a schedule. And so sometimes things disrupt the schedule and it upsets. That's him. And I said, you know, look at Jesus. Jesus was purpose-driven, not schedule-driven. And what you saw him do is he would go somewhere, and then if somebody needed something, he'd stop. And we're going to see an example of that in a little bit. And he would help. He would do things. And so I think sometimes we have somewhere we're going. The Levite must have had an appointment somewhere. Maybe he was going to go study the Bible with somebody, but he didn't want to get involved. I've got to get to that Bible study rather than, you know, helping this person who probably would have been converted a lot sooner, you know. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? A lot of times our schedule dominates us rather than the needs of the moment because we are not moved by compassion. We need that quality. It's something that Jesus is teaching here. There's an arrow of the parable that we know as well that tells us a lot about Jesus, tells us a lot about God. That I think is very, very important. And sometimes we miss this one very important point. And that's in Luke chapter 15. A parable we know it really well. We've heard it a number of times. The parable of the lost son. There was a man who had 2 sons. And the younger one said to his father, "Give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, and what's interesting, He gave both of them inheritance. It wasn't he gave one. He gave them both their inheritance. One stayed. And so the younger, not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off on a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he'd spent everything there, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs, which again was something that Jews just really didn't do. He was very desperate. One commentator said, yeah, overnight his friends became pigs when he didn't have any money. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, and that's what a lot of us need to do. He said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. And I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and he said, "Where have you been? What happened? Where's all the money? What happened to you? Where have you, you know?" No. He had filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. And he said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer to be called your son." But the father said, "Sir, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. This son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and he's found." And so they began to celebrate. What I'm interested here is the fact that while he was a long way off, he was filled with compassion. And in that compassion, he was more interested in restoring relationship, not in the cold shoulder, not in trying to figure out what have you done, where have you been, all these different sorts of things. And again, we need to understand what's the illustration here. This is to let us know what God is like. That when we come to God, God is a God of compassion. And so that he comes and he's not going, "Okay, where, you know," and you know, I realize that we need, and he has this repentant heart. The fact that he's coming back, you know, and sometimes I think that we just, you know, with our kids or with other, you know, sometimes we just need to understand, just if you're wanting, if you're coming back, then, hey, we're so excited, we're pleased, you know. And not the cold shoulder, not the what have you done. None of that was there. You know, he had this great heart, but he was filled with compassion and he accepted him, you know, loved him unconditionally. And so he threw his arms around and kissed him. You know, and what you don't see is a lot of the distance that was there. And so this is, again, an illustration of what God is like and the compassion that we need to imitate with others as well, particularly those who may have sinned against us. He said, "I've sinned against God and you." And it's true. He did. He squandered it all. He had this inheritance. He has nothing left. And you know, okay. The father goes, "Okay, so you don't have anything? Well, I'm sorry, but you know, we can't help you anymore." You know, that wasn't it. It was, "I'm glad he's lost. I thought he was dead. But now I knew he was alive and he was lost. Now he's found." That he was excited to have him back. And that's, again, another thing that we need to have. Let's go over to the book of Mark for a couple of passages. Mark chapter 1. That shows us, again, more about compassion and some things that we need to imitate as well. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. Says a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." I don't know how your translation reads that. This one, the newer translation says Jesus was indignant. Now, that's the only translation that translates that word. This is the same Greek word for compassion. RSV says filled with pity. New King James and several other translations as well say moved with compassion. It's only the NIV that says he was indignant. I have no idea why they decided to do that, but all the other translations say filled with compassion or filled with pity. So again, the same Greek word that everywhere else we've been seeing compassion or heart going out to someone. This is, you know, it wasn't anger. So he reached out his hand and touched him. This man had not been touched since he had leprosy, because under the Jewish law, he was unclean. No one had reached out to him. No one. It's like, I'll tell you, the comparison today would be with somebody with AIDS. A lot of people are unwilling to reach out and touch because I might catch it. You're not going to catch it by touching someone like that. You know, but that's what happens today. And this man with leprosy hadn't been touched by someone in a long time since he had leprosy. I have no idea how long it had been. But Jesus didn't just say, "You're healed." Jesus, with compassion, knew this man needed some touch, needed some human interaction. It isn't just enough to help someone. It's also important to connect with people. And that's what you see with Jesus. His compassion wasn't just enough to help the body, but also to connect with this person in a way that he hadn't been touched in a long, long time. You know, we're going to see in a little bit about some other needs in a moment. But I think, again, compassion helps us to do more than just help physically. And, you know, once a month, our church in Orlando, we go, some of us, go and help prepare food for some of the homeless families. And there's a group, there's another area where they feed just the men. But this is with families. It may be a single mom or it may be a couple that are homeless and they have their children. And so we feed, and sometimes it's maybe as 100 to 100 or sometimes 200 people. But one of the interesting things is being able then to sit down and talk to the children, talk to the parent, to the parents, and just interact. And one of the things that when they typically go and are fed, what usually happens, food is put out on a counter, and they come by and pick up their tray and get their food. But we have them sit down. We bring flowers, you know, some decorations, and put on all the tables. Put the butter and the salad dressing and things like that on the table, and then we serve them. We take the food to them. And then once that's done, and once we've finished feeding them, those of us that are still there, we go out and just sit down and talk to people. You know, because a lot of times people who are homeless are like the story of the Good Samaritan. We'll do something, but I just don't want to get involved. Don't want to connect. And I think and people, whenever they hear we're coming, and we announce that they applaud those who've been there before, because they know what we're known for when we're there. And I think that's, again, what Jesus does with this man with leprosy is touch him in a way that he hadn't been touched before. Mark chapter 8. This is where Jesus feeds 4,000 people in verse 1. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and he said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." And, of course, you know, they go on and talk about how we're going to feed all these people. And, you know, and so Jesus feeds the 4,000. But again, why does he feed these people? Because he has compassion on them. And I have no idea. Had they been eating their own food and ran out after 3 days? Or had they just been around him for so long and just were so excited about being there that they didn't? But he has compassion for these people, and so that's what led to him feeding 4,000. It wasn't that there was a need, so he did it. It was because he had compassion. It was his idea. You know, somebody else would have said, "You need to send these people away so they can go get something to eat." But Jesus says, "I have compassion on them. We need to feed them." So, but I'm really interested in Mark and Matthew chapter 14. Let's go over there, where he feeds another group of people. But what I'm interested in this one is just how powerful it was. In chapter, in earlier part of chapter 14, it's the incident, it's when John the Baptist had been beheaded by Herod. And there, it says in verse 12, after John the Baptist had been beheaded, it says, John's disciples came and took his body and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. Now, John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. John the Baptist was the one who had baptized Jesus and saw the dove descending. John the Baptist was the one that Jesus had said that there's never been a prophet like him before. He's, you know. And then when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by a boat privately to a solitary place. He just wanted to be alone with his grief. He had lost a dear family member, someone he's known a long time, someone who had prepared the way for him. And so he just wants to be there alone. But hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. So they knew he was going somewhere, so they followed him. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. His compassion for others overrode his personal grief about John the Baptist, someone he was related to, who had prepared his ministry, prepared the people for his arrival. He wanted to be alone. He wanted to, you know, just like a lot of times, we just need some time alone. We have that. That's what we want to do. But here's an example where Jesus' compassion moves him to think about others in spite of his own grief. I think that's a real challenge. A lot of times we're concerned about our needs, and it's, I need. But Jesus' compassion moves him. And what he does? He heals the sick. And so, you know, it wasn't, and there have been times when we see that healing for Jesus seemed to take a lot out of him. It wasn't just, you know, do things. But it seemed to take a lot from him. So this wasn't just a little thing to do. This was something which took a lot out of him as well. And yet, his grief was great, but his compassion was greater. And I think that's something to motivate us as well. Sometimes we are thinking about our own needs as being much more important than the needs of others. But Jesus is compassionate about that. And then let's look over in Mark chapter 6. Again, same situation. And, you know, Matthew remembers it one way. Mark adds something else to it. Listen to this. Well, this, again, this right before this, it turns out that right before that as well, right before this, John the Baptist had been beheaded, and now the apostles gather, they'd been sent out, and they're coming back, and they're telling him about everything that happened. And then because so many people were coming, they didn't even have a chance to eat. And said, "Let's come by yourself. Let's go to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves to a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed, he saw the large crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he began teaching them many things. You know, it's interesting. So he feeds 5,000 people. This is the same incident we had read in Matthew. But Matthew remembers he healed people. Mark remembers, you know, he had compassion on them and he taught them. So, you know, so it wasn't just healing, but he also taught people. Why? Because they just didn't seem to know where to go. That they were like sheep who wander around. Sheep are just, you know, a friend of mine talks about a group of people once. He said it's like herding cats. You know, that's what herding sheep is like. Sheep just will wander off unless you kind of keep them together and show them where to go. They will follow, But they need someone to follow. And so he says, here are the people that are like sheep that don't have anybody to lead them. And so they're just wandering all over the place. And so what do they need? They need someone to teach them about life. They need someone to teach them about where to go. Teach them how to live. Teach them so they won't wander away. Teach them about God so they'll want to be close to Him. See that God is the shepherd. That we see all of this and see God as being the true shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the shepherd, you know, who lays down His life for the sheep. And so that's what you see in Jesus. His compassion moves Him to heal and to teach, which I think is really great. But let's go over to Matthew, back to Matthew now. And in chapter 9, we'll close with this thought. Matthew 9, verse 35. Because he uses some of the same language. Verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming good news about the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. So, again, teaching and healing. You know, it wasn't that he just taught, he also met people's physical needs as well. And so, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. People without Jesus, and even those of us with Jesus, we are harassed. Life just throws us a lot of curves, things we hadn't planned on. We have one thing, and then life throws us a curve, and we feel overwhelmed, and we feel like, gosh, when is this going to ever end? And we feel that way. And sometimes we feel helpless, like there's nothing we can do. What are we going to do? No one's there going to help me. No one, you know, we feel, and especially those, what Jesus saw about them is they were harassed and like sheep without a shepherd. That's the difference for us. Is that sheep will be harassed. Sheep are helpless. There are wolves out there trying to, you know, there are looking for ways to destroy. And yet, he says they're like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of a harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Jesus saw the crowds, had compassion on them, and He healed. Jesus saw the crowds and He had compassion on them, and He taught them. Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, He taught, and He healed. And then He said, I need you guys to do the same thing. There's a lot of people with a lot of needs, and these people are coming. They're following us. Every time we go somewhere to be alone, they're coming. Why? Because they want. There's a lot of needs in the world. And I need more of you to have the compassion that I have. I want you to pray, to be a worker, and to pray for more people to be that way. And so it isn't just that Jesus was an example about compassion. It wasn't that He just taught us about what God and how compassionate God is, but He also says, I want you to be that compassionate too. I want you to be like Me in the world. I want you. And He says it in Matthew 28, I'm going to be with you at the end of the world. I want you. You are the worker. He said, I want you to pray for more. We need more people, He says, who are going to be committed and moved by compassion. So He says, you know, there's a lot of needs out there. And it's a great harvest. It's not just that there are needs. There are people who will respond to the message and to a life that's given, a life of service to others. People will respond to that. As long as it isn't a project. It isn't something that we're doing because we need to, we have to. It's because we have compassion for others. And when we have compassion for others, then people are going to respond to us. And if we want to know how to reach others, it is that we need to be moved by compassion like Jesus. Amen. Amen.